talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a kick out of this story, just organizing the show prep here this morning, organizing the stack of stuff, and got several fresh stories on our Montana Talks website right now, but I got a kick out of this story, not only because it's a cool story, these firefighters in Missoula rescued a kitten, I think it was, from the engine compartment of a vehicle, but the real reason I got a kick out of this story is because I know we got some firefighters that are listening to the show right now, so you guys weigh me in. Is this a Missoula fire thing? Is this an everywhere firefighter thing? Here's why I get a kick out of this story. Here's the headline: Missoula fireman free feline from car's engine compartment. And here's these guys, you know, working to get the guy with the cool tattoos on the arm, working to free the feline from the engine compartment of the vehicle. You know, the ladies especially are going to love this story, not just because he's freeing the feline from the engine compartment, but, look at his cool tattoos, right? But here's why I get a kick out of the story is because I'll bet you there's some guys on the city fire department who saw this story and said, oh, come on. Yeah, those county guys, man. There you go. The county guys, the rural fire guys in Missoula, they got a big PR victory. Dang those county guys! I understand there's a little rivalry between city fire guys and the county or the rural fire guys. So chalk up a win for the Missoula rural fire guys on the PR scoreboard here. Yeah, it took Missoula rural fire a little over an hour on Monday to rescue a stray cat that had lodged itself inside the engine compartment of a vehicle. KGVO News spoke to Missoula Rural Fire Engineer Nathan Lipinski, who told the story about the feline rescue. A gal was at the hospital, and she was coming out, and her daughter noticed a cattail sticking out of the intake of her car by the front bumper, realized that there was a cat that somehow made its way down into the bumper of her car, and she couldn't figure out how to get it out, so she drove very carefully home and tried to coax it out with some food, and then called animal control. Wait, so she knew the cat was in the engine compartment. She wanted to get it out, but she figured, I'm going to drive home first. Oh, that's pretty funny. Apparently they came over, determined that they were going to be unable to get the cat out of the car, so they ended up calling us the fire department. So apparently not only can fire departments get cats out of trees, they can also get cats out of cars. Right now, apparently, fire crews had to practically disassemble the vehicle to free the caught cat. We had to partially disassemble the car, and then it probably took us 20 minutes to get the cat out, according to Missoula Rural Fire here. It was a very small hole that the cat was able to fit through. We were trying to be very careful not to hurt the cat, and about halfway through, the hips got stuck between the radiator and a structural member of the vehicle. So anyway, there you go. I just get a kick out of that, though. Not only that it was a PR victory for the rural fire guys over the city fire guys, but that the woman was afraid of the cat being in the engine compartment, but drove home anyway before calling somebody to get the cat out of there. All right, just one of many headlines. MontanaTalks.com right now.
Here is your Montana news. The sheriff for Bighorn County has been killed in a head-on collision with a semi. Sheriff Darrell King died at the scene Sunday night at milepost 2 of Highway 212, southeast of Crow Agency. While the accident is being investigated, neither speed nor impairment are factors. Colorate reports from a post from Governor Gianforte, Sheriff King gave 17 years to law enforcement and also served in the Marine Corps. While condolences arrived from across the state, including the FBI and BIA, Bighorn County Commissioners promptly swore in Jeremy Middlestead as interim sheriff. Middlestead will serve in the position until a new sheriff is appointed by the commissioners. Now, that new sheriff will serve through 2024, during which time voters will elect a sheriff for the remainder of King's term. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunny breaks and some developing cloudiness today, with the chances for a few rain showers developing, especially in the Bozeman area, as we get into the afternoon hours. High temperatures otherwise will vary from the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at rain showers, and then the rain chances turn to snow overnight, with lows in the mid and upper 20s, with snow showers for Thursday, highs stay around 30. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
He is not squishy, and he is definitely not a journalist. He is Dan Bongino, and you can hear him each weekday 10 to 1 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What do you guys want to talk about here? We are live on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. We'll be live here all morning long. Plenty of time for you to call in, jump in on the conversation here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. I know it's like the day before a holiday. You're kind of like, man, why did we take today off? Today would be a good day to just take a vacation day because, you know, kids are off of school, and, you know, for at least my kids are off of school today. Some schools aren't off today, but my kids are off today. But I actually, it's kind of fun actually doing talk radio around these holiday travel weekends because, I mean, we got a lot of great listeners that tune in every Monday through Friday, and you're with us here in the early morning hours, and then, you know, our statewide audience joining us later on. But there's some people who, you know, they're stuck in meetings later in the morning. They're stuck, you know, doing this, doing that, to where maybe they can't listen, you know, after 8 a.m. They can join us in the early morning hours, but maybe it's a little harder later on, and, you know, the 8, 9 o'clock hours. But now, hey, they're hitting the road or taking the day off, and so for a lot of people, they're like, hey, man, now's the time when I really, really get to tune in, or I can tune in for a longer amount of time other than just during my drive to work or dropping kids off at school, et cetera. So it's kind of fun to see who you hear from on a day like today compared to any other given Wednesday during a normal work week. So, if at any point you want to jump in on the conversation, or you're somebody who's been kicking back, listening in during your morning commute, and now you got the time to call in and there's just been something you've been wanting to talk about, well, give us a ring. If it's hard to remember that phone number, just download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone and you can call us straight from the app. I want to get through my stack of stuff here. I think I printed up some screenshots of some reactions I got to this story here via Twitter. Yeah, there we go. So yesterday, mentioned this story. We had John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, join us on the show yesterday. Covered a lot of ground, covered a bunch of different topics, but this was one topic that we got to later on in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. Homeless shelter proposed for Lewistown, the middle of Montana. That's right. If you build it, they will come, is the small town of Lewistown, Montana, looking to build a homeless shelter similar to what has taken place in towns like Missoula and Kalispell. Apparently so. And the mayor of Kalispell is cautioning Fergus County residents. The mayor telling folks in Lewistown that one of the challenges of building these homeless shelters is that transients from outside the area will start moving in. According to KRTV, Mayor Johnson said this: I know there's a lot of people who don't want to admit it, but we had a significant increase in people from outside the area starting to show up in Kalispell. You know, we've talked a lot about this topic where, you know, in Missoula in particular, you have this Field of Dreams type of facility where if you build it, they will come. That encourages out-of-state transients to move in and oftentimes brings the criminal element with them. And so why would you bring that to the middle of Montana as well? Aren't there other places and other folks who can already care for anybody who might be in this unfortunate circumstance, right? In fact, that was actually a great point. Jeremy Trebus, who is a state representative out of Great Falls, via Twitter, he responded to this story. I've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now about this whole Lewistown, let's see, what are they calling it? A warming shelter, homeless shelter, same, if you ask me. He made a good point. He said, you know, Great Falls actually has some pretty good services to serve the homeless. And, you know, really, in Montana geography, Great Falls is not that far away from Lewistown. So why would you construct some sort of a new facility on the taxpayer dime in Lewistown and in Fergus County when you've got services a little further away down the road in Great Falls? I mean, that's another angle. But the biggest concern I think folks in Fergus County, Lewistown, and other parts of Montana would have to things like this is like, okay, here we go again. Now you're just, you know, encouraging more of the out-of-state transient community to come in and take advantage of these communities. That seems to be the overwhelming response here. Former Bozeman Mayor Krause, always fun to see him jump in on the conversation via Twitter. He's at Mayor Krause via X.com. He said this: it won't make for a field of dreams, but if you build it, they will come. Let's see, somebody else made a point. This is from at Old Hong Kong via X.com. New York City has a tent city that none of the illegal migrants will accept, so there's plenty of open beds there. Yeah, you guys remember that story where the illegal aliens were saying, oh, no, these shelters are not nice enough for us. We want those hotel rooms over there. We want those hotel rooms with TVs. These shelters are not adequate for us. Those of us who came to the United States to come to this country illegally, expecting to get all the free stuff, all the nice hotel rooms. New York City did not give them a nice fancy hotel room, apparently. They were going to give them a shelter instead. So they said, that's it. We're going back home. We're going back home to Venezuela and other parts of South America, wherever they came from. So, yeah, good point there by somebody else on Twitter where, hey, if people are having struggle finding a bed, New York City has lots of beds available right now. Let's see. Lots of other big stories to talk about. One big story that we talked about yesterday was how the Biden White House was recognizing Transgender Day of Remembrance. And they ended up honoring 26 transgender Americans who tragically lost their life. It's tragic whenever anybody loses their life, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, transgender, whatever, you name it, right? But as we pointed out yesterday, at least two of the people they honored during this day of remembrance were criminals. One attempted to kill cops. Anyway, more on that story next.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, in this season of thanks, we're certainly thankful for our affiliates, who are just as committed as we are in serving farmers and ranchers in our rural communities. And this morning, we want to welcome to our team some new affiliates in Nebraska: KSDZ in Gordon, KSID in Sydney, and KDJL in Valentine. These latest additions bring us to 89 affiliates now in 9 states. Well, when consumers debate their choices at the meat counter, one Nebraska senator says that misleading labeling shouldn't steer them the wrong direction. And our network's Rachel Gable has more about keeping things real.
Senator Fisher, who hails from a cow-calf operation in central Nebraska, said the time is now to clarify labeling to reduce consumer confusion and to be prepared as new products come into the marketplace as protein alternatives.
The Real Meat Act that we've introduced, it requires labeling. It requires that it's labeled as imitation meat. And even the size of the word imitation needs to be the same size as meat.
Senator Fisher said this bill paves the way for labeling of lab-based meats to provide the greatest amount of clarity and consumer confidence in the real proteins consumers expect from cattle and hog producers.
It goes back to looking at possible threats in the future. You know, if we don't stop this now or try to get some control over the labeling of it now, it'll be harder. It'll be much harder, I think, in the future.
For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And she says that the Real Meat Act is supported by groups like the NCBA the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, as well as various state organizations across our entire region. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
We're excited to announce that Northwest Farm Credit Services is now AgWest Farm Credit. I'm Nate Riggers, farmer and board chair of AgWest, here to let you know the agricultural financing services we provide, our locations, and the staff you've come to know will remain the same. So our commitment to our customer members is as strong as ever. Grounded by tradition, inspired by possibility. Call or visit agwestfc.com to learn more. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Cattle producers, in today's business, whether it's at the ranch or in the feedlot, efficiency pays. Wednesday, November 29th is the Beef Country Genetic Sale at Midland Bull Test near Columbus, Montana, featuring America's largest herd of efficiency-tested bulls from McDonald Angus, MJV Angus, and Frosty Creek Angus. Selling are 150 fall and coming two-year-old bulls and 50 registered bred heifers. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also broadcast on FrontierLiveSale.com. For sale catalogs and videos, visit McDonaldBeefCountry.com. Well, the National Corn Growers and 16 state affiliated associations have joined more than 140 allied national, regional, and state commodity groups in opposing changes to USDA disaster relief. Well, the group is appreciative for the allocation of $3.7 billion in much-needed emergency relief program assistance. They expressed serious concerns with changes. The biggest change? A progressive factor that reduces the disaster assistance for a lot of eligible growers based on the size of the losses. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots of topics to cover for you here this morning. I mentioned yesterday we talked about the Transgender Day of Remembrance at the White House, that Karine Jean-Pierre highlighted in particular at the White House press conference. And Greg Ray, I think is how you pronounce his last name, via X.com. He's always a good source of information. He basically documented how, well, here was a couple of the things I shared yesterday. He documented how one of the 26 transgender Americans killed this year was Devani J. Ray Johnson, who tried to murder a security guard with a fire extinguisher and a screwdriver. And then he also, in a separate post, pointed out how several others on the list were actually killed by their partners. They were killed by their lovers. These weren't transphobic hate crimes, as Karine Jean-Pierre was trying to lead people into believing. Jesse Waters had just an incredible segment, very informative segment, on this very topic last night. We've got some of the audio we'll share with you here, but he especially focused in on one of the other criminals who was recognized by the White House during Transgender Day of Remembrance, Tortuguita, who we talked about. Remember, Tortuguita shot his 9mm pistol 4 times, striking and seriously injuring a Georgia state trooper before he was shot by law enforcement. But that was one of the transgender Americans being recognized by the Biden White House. I'll play a clip from the Water segment here in just a few minutes. But first, we got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, great to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you. I have a short Thanksgiving Day poem to share with Montana Talks family. But first, I want to offer a few words on the Israel prisoner exchange and a possible ceasefire for about 4 or 5 days. I am not totally going along with this idea, because I don't believe that we should negotiate with terrorists, for one thing. You cannot negotiate with a psychopath, and that's what Hamas is. But on the other hand, 50 people, and this includes 38 Israelite children that were taken captive October the 7th, are going to be released over the next 4 or 5 day period, which is a very, very good thing, because God knows what these people have been going through, especially the children psychologically.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible, horrible thing.
And I think three of them are Americans, too, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, I think you're right to express that caution and that concern. While it's good news that some of these hostages will be released, you're not only negotiating with the Hamas terrorists, but there's other that one of the challenges they mentioned on Fox and Friends earlier this morning is that they don't even know which groups are holding all of these hostages. There's no one central, you know, you're not dealing military to military here. You're dealing with a collection of various terrorist groups like Islamic Jihad and Hamas. And so that's what also poses. And how many other people are you putting at risk by negotiating with terrorists? Nancy, stand by. I want to hear your Thanksgiving Day poem here. So let's get to that right after the Fox News update. 60 seconds.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The start of a four-day ceasefire in Gaza is expected to start tomorrow, according to Hamas, in exchange for the release of 50 Israeli hostages.
A U.S. senior official says that some American dual citizens might be among those released, including a little girl who will turn 4 on Friday. Hamas released a statement saying that 150 Palestinian prisoners, also women and children, would be released from Israeli jails through this deal.
Fox's Alex Hogan. Bad weather has been affecting some pre-Thanksgiving travel, but things are clearing up.
The destructive storm system that brought heavy rains, strong winds, hail, tornadoes, and many delays and cancellations across the country is now pushing off the East Coast. Conditions should start to improve this afternoon, but we'll still have lingering wet weather and snow for parts of New England.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. Stock futures are up ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. Yeah, Nancy, at Roundup, I understand you have a Thanksgiving Day poem you wanted to share with us as well this morning.
I sure do. A Thanksgiving poem. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pie take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your size.
We got to share that with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. He'll get a kick out of that last line there in particular. Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless and happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And keep our military in your thoughts. And I'm praying for all of them. And I hopefully they'll have a Thanksgiving dinner to remember. And my prayers are also with Israel. So we'll talk to you all next week.
All right. All right. God bless you as well. Happy Thanksgiving, Nancy. And, yeah, we'll have some great content for you over the next couple of days, some Fox News specials, especially in the early morning hours of Thanksgiving tomorrow, and then different specials on Friday as well. So our producer, Travis, really big thanks to him. He went overtime putting together some special coverage for us over the next couple of days. So yeah, keep listening in on the Montana Talks app. But we won't be taking phone calls over the next couple of days because it'll be a special holiday program. Programming for you, but it'll be good stuff. In fact, one of the best of programs that I think we're going to feature on Friday, actually I think a couple of them that we're going to have on Friday. We had Attorney General Austin Knutson with us for the full hour, and of course, as Nancy would appreciate, we were talking about our southern border and much more, but he was with us recently for a full hour. Some of you may have missed that. So that's going to be one of our specials coming up for you on Friday. Also, do you remember when we had Stacey Zinn? Stacey Zinn recently retired as the head of the DEA here in Montana, and we were talking with her about, you know, not just the southern border and drugs and fentanyl and the crime, but we were also talking with her about the youth gang violence and how she sees that potentially connected in with the drug cartels and much more. So it was fascinating insight from Stacey Zinn, especially after she stepped down and retired from the DEA. So that's going to be one of the programs that we're going to have for you on Friday morning. So you're going to want to check that one out for sure as well. Hey, another thing you're going to want to check out, you know, we've been talking about the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, the Biden administration is trying to brag about the fact that the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner is down slightly from last year. But here's the deal. It's still up. It still costs 25% more than it did before Joe Biden took office. So everybody's getting pinched with high costs. You're getting pinched with high gas prices. You're getting pinched with high costs everywhere. What if you could save money on your prescription drugs? What if you could not only save money on your prescription drugs, but you could save gas money as well, because you don't need to go drive to pick up those prescriptions. They will mail them to you. That's what Farm 406 will do for you. They will deliver your prescriptions to you, and you got to ask them about their Cost Plus program. This is where you can get your prescriptions at cost. So sometimes it might even beat your insurance company is what I've heard from some folks. So check them out, farm406.com, or drop by on the west end of Billings.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Real quick on this whole homeless shelter in Lewistown, Montana idea that's being floated. It sounds like there's a lot of opposition to this proposal, but I got to go back and look at this KRTV story. Let's see. Did I put that in? I think I might have recycled it already because I basically put together our own report on the Montana Talks website. Well, giving credit to KRTV, of course. I always like to give credit where credit's due and recognize if I saw a story that somebody else reported first, I always like to give them credit for it. I've noticed that's not a big trend in the media anymore. They'll just pretend that they were the first ones that saw a story. So they might see a story that Josh Rath wrote for us on our Montana Talks website. They might see a story that I wrote. They might see something Michael Foth wrote. But then a week later, you'll see it in other media outlets, and they'll act like, oh, yeah, look at this story we did. It's like, okay, you could at least give credit if you spotted it on a radio station website, because we try to do that for you guys. Okay, here it is. I pulled it out of the recycle bin. It does not say who is actually supporting this. I'll have to go find out who hosted the meeting at the Yogo Inn in Lewistown. It doesn't say who actually is proposing this idea. Yeah, when I shared this story on our Montana Talks website about the, if you build it, they will come homeless shelter being proposed for Lewistown, Montana, I shared that at facebook.com/Flint Report yesterday, and I think it was the Missoula County Republican Women commented on that story, and they asked a really good question. They said, who is proposing this? Who is supporting this? Who is pushing this? Because that is the question, right? Who is pushing this? Who is same question when it comes to the American Prairie Reserve trying to kick the ranchers off the land near Lewistown, Montana as well. Who is pushing that idea? Who is promoting it? Who is funding it? Well, we know that the American Prairie Reserve is funded by these foreign billionaires and these radical environmentalists that don't want you living here, don't want you ranching here. They want to, they just want to turn this area into a playground for liberal elites. And so, that's why that's a very good question. Who is pushing this? Who is trying to cause this chaos in our communities? And who is trying to bring this chaos that we've seen in Kalispell and in Missoula, who is trying to bring that chaos right into the middle of Montana in Lewistown? So I don't know if Bob in Lewistown is up and listening already yet this morning. Usually we'll get some good messages on the app from Bob in Lewistown. Bob could probably tell us. Although I think he might have alluded to it yesterday. We had a message on our Montana Talks app from Bob in Lewistown, and he said, yeah, unfortunately, the city government in Lewistown, this will happen in some of these towns, right, where you get these counties that are overwhelmingly red counties and conservative counties, but in the tiny little city government, it gets taken over by liberals or Democrat folks. And so it's like, so here you have, some of the reddest counties in the state of Montana, but then in the city government, it'll be run by liberals still. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like you can go to like small towns like Glasgow, Montana, and you can look at Valley County, Montana. I looked at the 2020 election results in Valley County, and 3-1 people in Valley County voted for Donald J. Trump over Joe Biden. And yet you'll get these liberal media sources, you'll get these, not The Buzz, Kelly and at The Buzz always does a great job, but you'll get like liberal Democrats on their city council in a town like Glasgow, Montana. So, that's just what'll happen. It's like, you just have these, the reddest of red counties, and then somehow in town you'll just get a handful of these outspoken leftists that will figure out a way to take hold of some powerful positions. But as you can see, the people aren't buying it. The people still aren't taking the propaganda. Yeah, I was thinking about. I don't know if Kelly is up and rolling yet either. Kelly, this would be really interesting to find out. So, here we go on a random story. I got to get to this Jesse Waters deal here in a second. But while we're on this topic, I want somebody to tell me, let's say the Keystone XL pipeline got approved. Could folks in Valley County, Montana have used that to build a new athletic facility? So I don't know about you guys, but man, I'll tell you what, as a kid in Glasgow, Montana, that high school gymnasium was incredible. Still is incredible. I mean, for small town Montana, that thing was massive, right? And when you'd walk out onto that gym floor for a wrestling tournament as like a 7-8-year-old kid and Eye of the Tiger is playing over the loudspeakers, or when you'd watch the high schoolers wrestle and they would come out and the lights would be off and the spotlight would be on these wrestlers, it was the coolest stinking thing, one of the coolest things you would ever see in your entire lifetime. And you know, back in the day, they had the airbase that really boosted the economy there, but then the airbase got shut down. And, you know, you've had agriculture that's been a constant. That is the backbone of the economy there. And, you know, you got some gas operations and things like that, right? But I guess if people have been wanting to build a new gymnasium, they're like, hey, the thing that you guys got to enjoy growing up, we want to build that for the next generation. But here's the deal. Agriculture is getting pinched by high input costs right now and interest rates and everything else. Everybody else is getting pinched by inflation and everything else. So you want to ask people to give you a lot more money to build a big new facility. You just had a pipeline that could have flowed through your county delivering $100 million every single stinking year, potentially up anywhere from $65 to $100 million to these eastern Montana counties every single year. I just wonder, could you have used that money to build a nice new athletic facility? And yet, there are some of our Democrat friends in Valley County who defended John Tester, who will still suck up to John Tester, and John Tester is responsible for killing the Keystone XL pipeline. But oh, no, don't blame him that you don't get a fancy new athletic facility for the next generations. Don't call him out. You're still such diehard, biased Democrats that you will still suck up to John Tester at the same time you try to squeeze your local taxpayers out of more money. It's so symbolic, isn't it? So symbolic. All right, let's see. Tater in Forsyth. Hey, I was listening to the podcast with you and John from yesterday. Actually, Kelly in Glasgow sent a similar message. Was that in the 8 o'clock hour or the 9 o'clock hour? I don't know how we got to talking about this. You never know. I mean, we just cover so many different topics. But, yeah, John Jackson was with us yesterday. She says, I want to let you guys know, a honey badger will take on a cobra also because honey badgers don't give a shift. That's the Adam Schiff word I use there, right? Oh, man, the honey badgers don't give a... Adam Schiff. If you haven't seen that video, it is hilarious. No, Tater, you're exactly right. I think I was deployed overseas in Africa when the honey badger video series were coming out on YouTube. And, man, I'll tell you what, if you were ever deployed overseas and suffering from low morale, just watch the honey badger videos, and boom, morale immediately lifted. Tater, thanks for that message. Yeah, we were talking... I don't know how we got to talking about this, But what led us to that conversation? But anyway, I mentioned, hey, have you seen this video of this? What was it? It wasn't a Wolverine. I know we had mentioned the Wolverine thing. But anyway, I said, have you seen this video? It was, what the heck was it? Attacking a cobra, and this little tiny animal was holding its own. I can't remember what it was. But Kelly in Glasgow was thinking it should have been a honey badger as well. All right, let's see. You know what? Now we've been having fun joking about some other stories. It's a little hard to go right into the serious news. So let's stay on the lighter side for just another minute or so here. Then we'll get back into the serious topics after the with Sean Hannity commentary. Jimmy Failla, the former New York City cab driver and stand-up comedian, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night. And did you guys hear this? Kim Kardashian is on the cover of the Man of the Year edition of, is it GQ magazine?
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, that was kind of a misspeak. She said she likes to do sports. I think she meant she likes to do athletes, if you're familiar with her history. Listen, it's hard for me to bash a fashion magazine in this shirt because I look like an affordable pilgrim stripper. Okay, but understand, this is ridiculous. The problem GQ has is the men who made the most headlines this year did so by dressing as women. Like, for real, were they going to put Dylan Mulvaney on the cover? I don't know that that was a good sale. Then they had that weirdo luggage thief at the White House, Sam Brinton. But he's kind of out of the news because the White House gave him a pink slip, and then he put it on. Hey-o! So, I don't know.
Oh, man. Anyway, you got to go watch the video of him on with Laura Ingraham last night just to see the shirt he was wearing that he was making fun of himself over. Back after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why aren't they saying Bidenomics anymore? Why are Democratic donors scared to death every time he does say Bidenomics? Because everybody knows the economy is a disaster. Everybody sees the high price of gasoline. Everybody sees Biden inflation. Everybody's living it. Everybody sees the highest amount of credit card debt that we've had in generations. Everybody sees the highest interest rates we've had in decades. Everyone sees the record debt that we've had. Everyone sees that we have now passed the $1 trillion interest on the debt payment every single year that we've got to pay out before the government can spend a single dime. And everybody knows that two-thirds of the country, at best, are living paycheck to paycheck. So why call it Bidenomics?
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, Black Friday savings start right now at Blinds.com with up to 50% off everything. That includes big door busters. Blinds.com has everything you will need to upgrade your entire home. Plus, with professional design consultants, installation services, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, Blinds.com makes it easy. Shop now, Blinds.com, their Black Friday sale, and save up to 50% off everything and big door busters. That's up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
December 6th, the final GOP debate of the year is on News Nation, America's fastest growing cable news network. Sirius XM's Megyn Kelly, News Nation's Elizabeth Vargas, and the Washington Free Beacon's Eliana Johnson moderate a live primetime event from the University of Alabama as the candidates make their case to America on the only network for all America. The News Nation Republican primary debate, live December 6th, 8 Eastern. To find News Nation on your TV, go to joinnn.com.
On the corner of 29th and Overland.
Hey, you know, back in October, we were doing our show live from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting in Great Falls, and we only had like 60 seconds left to go in this show, and we get this great guy step up to the microphone, Jerry Lim. He is one of the safety award recipients who won a big award for helping out some folks here in Montana, and he had a great line. He said, if you see something, do something.
Stop to opt out. Informed by Dr. Marty's Pets.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get to this Jesse Waters audio that I promised I was going to share with you here. First, there's a headline at thedailycaller.com. I'm going to stab you. Some trans Americans mourned by the White House died during altercations with law enforcement. The White House commemorated Transgender Day of Remembrance Monday by mourning the loss of 26 transgender Americans who were killed this year, but failed to mention that several had died during altercations with law enforcement. Here's Jesse Waters describing one of those transgender Americans that the White House was honoring earlier this week. This is one of the people we told you about on Tuesday's show. Tortaguita, apparently, is the name that this of this individual.
His name is Little Turtle, Tortuguita. You remember Tortuguita?
also known as Manuel Paez Teran. He was Antifa, a 26-year-old indigenous queer non-binary militant who lived in the forest. He was a part of Atlanta's Forest Defenders, a group of angry Keebler elves living in treehouses in the woods over the past 2 years. Remember after George Floyd, the Democrats said police needed to be better trained? Well, the police were building a new training facility in Georgia. But Little Turtle didn't want police to be better trained. He didn't want police at all. All the Little Turtle wanted was a forest where police wouldn't be allowed to enter. And for the last few years, Antifa has been battling Georgia police officers and raising all sorts of bloody hell. They've thrown Molotov cocktails at police, launched rocks and bottles at cop cars, shot fireworks at them. In January, when cops were clearing out the forest, Tortuguita refused to leave. He remained in his tent, defiant. Georgia state troopers say after he didn't comply with their demands, they used pepper spray. But Tortuguita responded by firing 4 shots at him from a pistol, leaving a Georgia state trooper seriously injured. Officers were forced to return fire, and unfortunately, Tortuguita was pronounced dead.
Is this target practice?
Play the police department with a less lethal agent and will be administered into the tent if you do not come out with your hands up.
Little Turtle's decision to shoot officers triggered chaos in Atlanta. Riots broke out. Antifa lit construction equipment and cop cars on fire. Smashed windows, even threw bricks at police.
Yeah, anyway, great segment by Jesse Waters all around. It goes on for several more minutes. You can see it at foxnews.com. But he later concluded the segment by saying this. They want us to bow our heads in a moment of silence and commemorate an Antifa tree hugger who shot a cop and left behind the diary of a serial killer who was held back in kindergarten twice. Biden skips the 9/11 ceremonies this year, but he didn't forget to honor cop-hating Antifa. That was the point Jesse Waters made last night. It was also interesting, later in that same segment, he interviewed a representative of a group called Gays Against Groomers. Gays Against Groomers. We'd actually had somebody from that organization on our show right now. So this Gays Against Groomers organization has been speaking out against this radical transgender agenda where they're targeting kids with life-altering surgeries and things like that. But Gays Against Groomers, the spokesperson they had on with Jesse Waters last night, also made an interesting point. Like, here you have the Biden White House honoring these cop-hating Antifa members. So they honored 26 transgender Americans who lost their lives in the past year. And I don't know if they can link even one of these cases to a so-called transphobic attack when they were killed by their own partners. But anyway, the Gays Against Groomers made a good point. There were more Americans killed by lightning strikes last year than this number here.